Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 117 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the spiritual detoxing, decluttering, junk-clearing creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com or back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And yay, it's been 2 weeks since I've talked to you. It feels like 2 years. I have crammed so much living into these last 2 weeks. It felt weird as the, you know, little automated blog talk lady was like, 5 more seconds. I was like, do I still know how to do this? It just seems like it's been a really long time. I did not do a show last week. I actually decided that kind of at the last minute. I had intended to do the show a couple of hours later than usual, just do it at 2 and, instead of noon. And as it approached, I was like, this is crazy. I'm spending June making more space in my life and encouraging other people to do the same. And I'm going to like try to squeeze my son's graduation, something I have been building up to, we've been working on for years, into like this tiny little window so I can run back home and do my radio show. I was like, that is insane. So I canceled the show, and you are all, those of you that follow me on Facebook, I won't even go there because I'll start crying, which is actually appropriate to today's show. All I do is cry lately, cry and work and cry. I am a crying machine. But let me just say thank you. You blew me away with your support around my son's graduation and trying to get him into a new program. For those of you who are brand new and have no idea what I'm talking about, my son has autism, and the school district and all the services that come along with that, they're over for him now, and I have to find adult placement for him. So that's been a really heavy, heavy process that I've been working on with a lot of focus since January. I thought last Friday that was coming to an end in placing him in a program, and you all sent me amazing wishes and awesome support around that. Candles were lit, prayers were sent, magic happened, and oh, you're amazing. Thank you, guys. You're so awesome. But that turned out to be just the beginning of another 6-month-long process. I thought it was going to be the end. I thought I finally had gotten him in, and they were like, yay, congratulations, you passed the first hurdle. Now there are all these other hurdles, and it should take another 6 months. So I'm keeping the faith. I'm taking your magic with me forward. But that was a bit of a setback, and gee whiz, why am I crying? That is on theme. I'm going to talk about the power of tears today. So I'm just doing a little demonstration for you, really. These aren't real tears. And then also something totally bizarre happened. Someone emailed me to be like, hey, I left you a message on iTunes, because I'm always saying, hey, please leave me or a review. Leave me a review over on iTunes because it helps people find the show. And it helps more people find Hippie Witch. And so I was like, yay, I'm going to go read what she wrote. I will read that to you now. She titled it Kooky and Kick Ass. She gave me 5 stars, Jill R42. And she said, I love Joe DeVoe's podcasts. I listen to them while driving long distances, and they always bring a smile to my face or a good giggle. She's very funny. Yay! Has a great way with words and discusses subjects others may stay away from. I have learned a lot of helpful tips to help out in my spiritual journey and life in general. Well worth a listen if you're into witchy stuff or the law of attraction. Thank you so much for that review. But in going to read that review, I saw that 30 reviews are missing. All of my reviews had been wiped. And there are thousands of you that listen to this show, so take that into consideration and the fact that I only had 30 reviews on iTunes, and you'll see how precious those reviews are. They are very few and far between. So I had a little momentary freak out, but iTunes has been glitchy before. Like, they've just dumped 100 of my shows who are just, like, missing. And then a couple weeks later, they put them all back. So I'm hoping, and I'm assuming that's going to happen. And if not, I'm going to walk my talk and let it go. Leave it in the past where it belongs, which is what the theme for this show is today. Grieving is leaving, har har, it rhymes. Grieving is leaving the past behind where it belongs. Obviously, I know this, but I've also known many people in my life who do not allow themselves to grieve, and they carry past hurts or even just past, you know, like mental clutter or just stress, they carry it with them into the future, where I believe it hangs out in your body. It, like, just hides out in your body, and it can lead to a number of illnesses. I am not saying this is something that I really want to put out there, that if you have cancer, you have repressed emotions. But I will say that repressed emotions could potentially lead to something as dangerous as cancer or heart disease. I genuinely believe that emotions that we hold on to, that they're stored in our bodies, and that they want to be expressed. They want to be released. They want to be processed so that they can flow. They're not meant to stagnate. They're not meant to become solid. And so they're trying to do you a favor in emerging as an illness. Or the way I experience them is a pressure on my chest. I think I've lived this way for my entire life, but it's only in recent years that I've become aware of it. Like, you can live with a lot of pain or discomfort or just weird little things in your body and not even know that you're, like, have you ever just been told to relax your posture and you relax and then you're like, whoa, I didn't even know that I wasn't relaxed. I thought I was, but only in letting go do you realize, like, you're holding your hand in this weird cramped way, or your shoulders are up around your ears. It's interesting how we hold on to our feelings that way, and I think so many of us carry our past forward. And since this is the week that so many of us are doing the 100 Things Challenge, where we're getting rid of 20 physical items from our life a day for 5 days, I wanted to talk about the psycho-spiritual way that you can also declutter. Internal feng shui, space clearing for the soul. Have you ever thought about decluttering your heart space? This is something I've been thinking a lot about, especially in reference to what I was saying about that pressure on my chest. Like, literally, it feels like someone's squeezing my heart, and that is so bizarre. Learning how, you know, your heart is internal. It's not like you can look down at your hand and go, ooh, I'm gripping my hand. My hand is clenched. Let me relax it. It's different with your heart, and I think that that's because we can store a lot in there, and it takes some introspection to get some release going there and to start feeling that pressure lift. So here's something funny. My husband nicknamed me the sentimentalist. If you remember the mentalist, it might even still be on TV, but when it was brand new, I acquired the nickname the sentimentalist because I am absurdly sentimental. I hold on to, this is physically and emotionally, I have like every little gum wrapper, napkin, note card, anything that anybody ever wrote, my son especially, like, no, don't get rid of that. Don't get rid of that. My grandma gave me that. My kid made that. Whatever it is. So I have a ton of physical junk. And letting it go, I have found, is a trick for me, because it's not the piece of paper. It's what it represents. obviously. And it's the idea of letting it go that seems almost more painful than I can bear. It becomes like super overwhelming. That's like all up in my head. That is not real. When I take the action to actually let the item go, or to even let the memory go, but let's say the memory is being represented in a physical item, it's so easy. It's like as hard as walking out to the dumpster, chucking it in, and walking back in the house. And I always feel such a huge relief, and I have to laugh at myself, like, why was I holding on to that cruddy little tin that nobody would ever want, and that kind of embarrasses me when people come into my house because it's attached to this weird memory. FYI, the memory isn't going anywhere just because I throw away the cruddy tin. And that, you know, in doing a lot of decluttering over the last year, I did a lot of it intensely last month, and again, I'm doing more this month. I'm going to do it all summer. I'm just going to keep doing it. This might be a new way of life for me. I don't know. I've acquired a lot over the years, but in doing it, I've realized the sentimentalist is not exactly a nickname I want to live up to. It's funny, but it's also a kind of cage. And it's restricting in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of that comes from not properly grieving the past. And something in me feels like holding on to it emotionally, having physical representations of holding on to it. I don't know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to control it, I think, in some way, or make it better, or maybe punish myself for mistakes I made, or other people for mistakes they made. It's just so complicated when you try to get to those things mentally, and it's so not complicated when you just simply let it go. And it's just a matter of choice. It happens in an instant. I will give you another, I'm going to give you a lot of examples from my own life today because this is a process I'm going through. I hope you can learn something from what I'm learning, but again, like I said with the 100 Things Challenge, I'm not really coming at this from a place of, let me teach you this. Let me share my wisdom. I'm more just like, ooh, look how fucked up I am. Maybe you're fucked up this way too. Yeah, let's fix this together. So I'm coming at you as a friend here with this because this is just something that it's been a long process for me, but I really feel like, kind of like with the thing with my son, I kind of feel like, ooh, I just did all of this decluttering. I thought I was at the end of it, and I realized, nope, I'm just at the beginning. So one example is my old company was called Koshi. And that's when my illustration style, which if you've been to my website or you bought one of my T-shirts or you've taken one of my courses, you're familiar with this style of illustration that I do. I was very inspired by Blythe dolls. If you don't know what a Blythe doll is, it's a doll with big ass eyes. She was manufactured for like, I think less than a year in 1972 and 73. And I was very inspired by this. And I've always drawn eyeballs. Eyeballs have always been a thing for me, but that's really where my style was born, is when I discovered these Blythe dolls. One of my best friends at the time, when I was really passionate about this new drawing style, that it became my permanent style, she bought me a Blythe doll that she had to pre-order and have sent from Japan. It was a reproduction of this 1972 doll. And so, flash forward, you know, I had my company Koshi. Blythe doll was kind of like a visual mascot for it. I went through this thing where I was really into dolls in my early 30s. I think I was trying to, like, recapture or relive my childhood one more time before I was finally able to let it go. I, like, went really far, goofy far into, like, dressing like a kid, which I guess I still do to some degree. I'm a fairly childlike person, but I really went there in my early 30s and had all these dolls and stuff. And I needed money. I knew my Blythe doll was worth money, and I knew that my time with her had come. And I had to sell her. I posted her on eBay, and it was this huge thing where I felt very guilty that my friend had bought me this doll. I had it for years before I sold it. I knew it would hurt her feelings, but I knew not only did I need the money, I knew that I had outgrown this doll phase and I didn't need to be surrounded by dolls. It didn't feel true to who I was anymore. And luckily someone bought the doll who was just thrilled to have her, and I told her the whole story. She's like, don't worry, she's getting a new home. She's going to be so well loved. But that was one, actually a very early instance of me learning how to not only let go of things and not only let go of people in my life, to let go of parts of myself that no longer serve. And sometimes that can be just as hard as letting go of a person you love, because you can develop a real attachment to the person you used to be. Something that comes to mind is like when you see women who they look exactly the same as they did in high school, and they hold on to like their hairstyle and the clothes that they wore in high school, because in their mind that was like the height of their beauty or their popularity, or those are the glory days, or for whatever reason they hold on to that because it makes them feel youthful. But little do they know, from the outside looking in, it's so aging. It ages them. It's like holding on to a dead body, and it just keeps rotting, and the person holding on to it has no idea that when other people look at it, it looks like they're like clinging to a corpse. But the person clinging to it thinks like, no, no, I can't let it go or it will die. It's already dead and it's aging you. And then you see those people go on like a makeover show, and they get some modern makeup and hair and clothes, and it's like, whoa, 15 years have been totally erased. You know, they didn't have a facelift or anything, but all of a sudden they look lighter, and most, more importantly, they feel lighter. You can see the spark in their eyes. You can see the joy. And I just think that's fascinating. And sometimes you have to go through a bit of a grieving process before you can leave the past behind, where it definitely belongs. Dragging your past along with you is, like I said, it's like dragging the corpse around with you. Everybody else can see it. Maybe you're blind to it because you've been carrying that thing around so long you can't smell the rotting, putrid flesh, but other people see you coming from a mile away. So grieve it, let it go, bury it, have a funeral if you have to, let it go so that you can set yourself free. Another moment, this keeps coming back to business. I think I have business on my mind because I'm halfway through leading the Big Heart, Big Biz group that I was talking about last week or last month. I was like, sign up for this. Well, the people who signed up for it, we are all in the process of doing that behind the scenes. We're working on our businesses, and I'm teaching people how to make money doing what they love. And one of my lessons in having Kick-Ass Switch was I had to, before I started Kick-Ass Switch, I had a YouTube channel. I still have it. I don't really put energy there anymore, rarely. Sometimes I'll just be in the mood and pop in for the fun of it. But I had a channel that was for the fun of it, to participate in that community. It was very healing for me at a time when I needed something healing. It brought me a lot of joy. But once I got going with my business, I realized I couldn't do both. And I had to let that part of my YouTube experience die. I know this sounds melodramatic, but I really went through this. There's a culture on YouTube, in Facebook, online, and in life. I'll try to bring this around to how it affects everyone in life. But for me, it showed up on YouTube. There's a culture where there's like this tit-for-tat thing going on. It's really, there's supposed to be a conversation, you know. So you watch someone's video, they watch yours, you keep the conversation going. People would make video responses. We'd all make videos on the same topic, and there's like a tribe around that. And I had a lot of followers, I had a lot of people watching my videos, and it came to a point where I couldn't do that and my business at the same time, where I felt kind of pulled in two different directions. And I knew that the choice that I needed to make was my business. So what I had to do was let go of the need to be popular and the need to be liked in favor of the need to pay my bills, doing what I love, and serving my tribe in a way that inspired us all to create the kick-ass life of our dreams together. And I knew a large chunk of my audience was going to fall off when I did that. I even heard from a couple of people who were like, well, if you're not going to watch my videos, I'm not going to watch yours. And actually, that made it easier for me to let go, because I realized I'm not – okay, there's a difference between winning a popularity contest and, like, paying your bills, doing what you love, and inspiring the people that you're here to serve. Those people actually did me a favor sending me those messages. And there was a moment of fear around letting that go. You know, these people won't like me anymore if I don't watch their videos and comment on their videos, which, by the way, takes a long time to sit through someone's 15-minute video and leave a thoughtful comment. How many times a day can you do that? You know, there was that fear, and there was even a little grieving process that I kind of had to go through, especially because some people I really, really enjoyed, they weren't interested in me if we weren't going to do this kind of tit-for-tat interaction, which I realized had become draining and super time-consuming. So now, if I watch a YouTube video, it is for the pleasure of it. It's because I genuinely love and adore the person making the video. And I miss a lot of videos, FYI, for those of you who make them, from people I genuinely love and adore. But that's just a time thing, you know. It's either that, or it's because the subject is of real interest to me. And so YouTube became a burden for a period of time. But once I grieved that, like, okay, all these people, they're not going to be my friends anymore. They're not going to watch my videos anymore. I'm going to let go of the need to be popular because I have this dream of this business and serving, like, a really specific kind of person. Making that switch was so healing for me, and the grieving process was, like, really building up to making the decision. Once I made the decision, it was easy. A way this might apply to your life, because I'm assuming most of you don't have YouTube channels or understand that, like, weird tit-for-tat culture, that culture exists in real life, too. Think about it like this. You know, there are people... Here, okay, think about it like this. Do you ever go to a baby shower or a birthday party or a wedding just so that that person will go to yours? Or because they went to yours and you feel guilty if you don't? That's what I mean by tit for tat. Where is the joy in that? That is not friendship. That is not real love. That's emotional blackmail. And it's taking up space in your heart and your mind and your budget and your time. It's taking up space that should be reserved for those people and experiences that spark real joy. You are meant to enjoy your life. I believe that. And if you don't, Hippie Witch is not the show for you, because I believe that we are meant to walk in joy, that our lives are meant to be joyful, that joy is a choice that you make again and again and again. Will hard or bad or challenging things happen in your life? Yes, they will, because you're a human person on this planet Earth. But you get to choose how to process and deal with those experiences. And most of the hard or bad or challenging things that will happen in most of our lives is a direct result of the choices we have made. And guess what? You can always choose again. So if you've chosen a partner, a lover, a job, or a friend, or a YouTube channel that weighs heavily on your heart, you can choose to let that person or experience go in favor of a lighter, more joyful experience. And then it's in that way that I think that the 100 Things Challenge and the physical decluttering and space clearing so many of us are doing, that can be reflected in a kind of emotional space clearing or, like, internal feng shui. And I think it's perfectly okay to give your space, self space and time to grieve whatever it is you're letting go. Grieve the person you used to be, how I was saying about, you know, collecting dolls or having Koshi. Grieve the relationship you used to have. And in doing so, I think it's a great thing to ask yourself, are you afraid to let go of the relationship you have? Or are you afraid to let go of the relationship you used to have but no longer do? In which case, it's already lost to you. And maybe you're just trying to control the memory and hold on to something that is already gone. Or Are you afraid to let go of the relationship you hoped you would create with somebody but never really did? And in that case, again, it's already gone. It was never yours to begin with. I think so much of this is like mental gymnastics. You know, we get caught up in our minds with these things, and sometimes things can't be processed mentally. Sometimes you just have to feel your feelings. Put on a sad song, put on a sad music, and let the snot flow. Holding on to something that is past its due date, past its expiration date, it's holding on to a lie. And that lie is toxic because it prevents new love from finding a home in your heart. You have cluttered your heart space, and it's time for a declutter. And actually, did you know that tears are literally healing? Like, they literally heal you. They have antibacterial properties. I'm talking about the actual tears that come out of your eyes have antibacterial properties. And they remove toxins, literally. They literally remove toxins from your body, which I think is not only symbolic, which it is, but it's also, again, totally literal, because emotionally toxic people and experiences create literal toxins in your body. So crying is not just symbolic of releasing that emotional toxin. You literally are releasing that emotional toxin. So cry, cry, cry. If you have a hard time crying, clearly I do not. Find something to make you cry. Watch some sad movies, put on a really sad playlist, and just cry and be like, I am detoxing. I met up with an old friend the other day, and I had like acne on my face because I get acne no matter what I do. Any kind of detoxing, if I'm doing like a dietary detox, my skin will break out. If I eat one of the allergens or one of my food sensitivities, my skin will break out. If it's too hot, my skin will break out. If I cry, my skin will break out. And I realize, okay, that's toxins leaving my body. And for some reason, my skin is just very, very loud that way. So I joked that I have crackne on my face, which is crying and acne. If you smush cry and acne together, you get crackne. And we had a laugh about it. But tears, much like laughter, they have the ability to elevate your mood. It's about a literal shedding and a literal release. And I think that is so powerful. In my last newsletter, which I called The Purge, actually some people didn't like that because I mentioned ayahuasca. I guess that's a little too edgy for some people, which I did not realize was that mentioning that was going to offend some people. But ayahuasca is a really popular entheogen right now. People have these ayahuasca ceremonies where it's called the purge for a reason, because if you drink ayahuasca, you will purge. It's a literal purging, like vomiting, and shamans believe that in this like hellish experience of purging, you're like purging up all the toxins of your life, the emotional toxins, the things that you've like held deep down inside, and doing the purge, which is actually the nickname for ayahuasca. There's actually a place down in Peru, like a camp called the purge, where people go do ayahuasca. It's like creates this healing experience all at once. So it's about like 4 hours of hell in order to skip or bypass what might end up being like 4 years of psycho-spiritual processing. Plant medicine is amazing for this. I'm totally not against it. But what I love about being a witch is that, sure, those plant spirit guides, they're always there for those of us who want to do some heavy lifting all at once, but for the most part, we walk an ongoing healing path that is more gentle, which is why I love the Wheel of the Year. Because as you go around the Wheel of the Year, if you're doing it from a psycho-spiritual perspective, you are training yourself to better weather life's storms. You're training yourself through the life-death life cycle in a way that's very healing. You're gaining wisdom with every go-round. Every time you go around the wheel, you have new insights, and your wisdom deepens and develops. Samhain is such a powerful time, I think, for witches, because it's about releasing. It's about letting go. And then you can apply it to any experience in your life. You don't have to be like, I'm going to wait for Samhain to process my emotions. I have to wait till Halloween. It's like, no, that point on the wheel is just a lesson where you get to study that experience, and then you can apply it any time you have something to release. So Blog Talk is telling me I'm out of time. Right now, actually, on the Psycho-Spirit Wheel of the Year, we're just having fun. We're doing fairy magic, and I'm sharing, like, a really fun dream tea, like plant medicine light. It's not heavy like ayahuasca. I show you how to make a dream tea that can give you lucid dreams and stuff. And then we have just an amazing group of people in there that you can hang out with in a private group and talk about witchy things. So if that interests you, go to www.psychospiritualoftheyear.com and you can sign up for the summer solstice module, which is next Sunday, but you can start on it now. And this weekend, we're having a live hangout where we're all going to sit around doing witchy magical things together in a very, very private online Google Hangout. So until we meet again, I'll be back here for sure next Tuesday. And much love to you. Happy solstice. I'm not going to talk to you before then. So happy summer solstice. Much love. Peace.